The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but
we
because they are hard.
Start. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting to 7 continents. Consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our Monday Space Show program. I am your host, David Livingston. Great to be here. Thank you all for tuning us in. Another really terrific day in the San Francisco Bay Area. I hope wherever you are, it is equally as nice, but maybe not quite as windy as what it is here. A couple of quick announcements and then off to our program. For those of you who want to give us a call, you're not at work and you have access to a phone line, 1-866-687-7223. No call screeners. Be patient. We'll bring you up on air as quickly as possible. Remember, we do answer the phone during the breaks, and we will hold you over the break if that is relevant. Also, since we only have the one toll-free line, if you feel you've been waiting too long, please send me an email and ask me to move the caller along, and I will be happy to do so. And again, that's because we have only the one toll-free line. If you are listening at work or you don't have access to your phone, the email address for questions and comments is drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, at thespaceshow.com. Please do remember we're copyrighted and trademarked, but we do permit everyone to download our shows freely and to pass them along to people that you think would be interested, should be interested, or are interested in space subjects. Very few rules in doing that. Please don't do anything commercial with the show. No edits for your own website, YouTube, or anything like that. And written transcripts are not permitted, even if they're for your own personal use. Podcasting comes through Andrew Grummet over at gigadial.net, and you can find the RSS URL on our website, both of our newsletters. And if you have any podcasting questions, please don't hesitate to get a hold of us. Remember, you can get our podcast in iTunes, Podcast Alley, Microsoft Zoom, astrospacenow.com, yastro.com. And our website is thespaceshow.com, so there's a detailed newsletter that's there. It has all of the events in detail about the week, and it has guest bios. It also has the future events section for the Space Show. And then if we have to modify the schedule during the week, this is the first place we do it. So check it from time to time to be current. And there's also a way for you to subscribe to our very short email newsletter, which goes out early Monday morning, California time. Everything we do is on our website and archived. You can easily download our programs, or you can listen right off of our website. There is a store up near the top left of the website called Space Show Gear. Please visit and check it out. And everything you buy goes to support the Space Show. And then there is a Support the Space Show button. Remember, we're a nonprofit 501c3 with OneGiantLeapFoundation.org. And we appreciate your support. It's what keeps the Space Show going. And we do need that support. If you do have any questions about our 501c3, which is OneGiantLeapFoundation.org, please get a hold of me. And again, remember, if you're a federal U.S. taxpayer, you get a deduction on your taxes for your contribution. The same is true for those of you paying taxes in the Golden State of California. And then finally, remember that the Secure World Foundation partially sponsors us. And we're glad, and I think this is like our 4th or 5th year of relationship with Secure World, or maybe 6th year. And they promote cooperative solutions for space security, not just in the United States, but around the world. Go visit their own website. They have lots of white papers and very interesting position papers and information on their website. It's swfound.org. And they also are the sponsors of our webinar series. We have one coming up soon with them, details to follow, but it will be about using space resources for dealing with and mitigating natural disasters. Should be very, very interesting. Today we're going to be talking about the lightning pitch competition for the New Space Business Plan program for 2014. And we welcome back Tom Olson. Tom has been a business systems engineer and analyst in communications, aerospace, and the publishing sectors for more than 25 years. In addition, he has worked in an investment analysis and operations capacity in the financial services area, cash and fund management. He's a serial entrepreneur, and he has helped found the Exodus Group as a way to bridge the gap of understanding between entrepreneurial space tech startups and angel VC institutional investors seeking out new opportunities. He has served on many of the organizing committees for the Space Investment Summits, and those were the events that led to the business plan competition, which has grown and become more and more successful every year. And currently, he is an advisor to an investor in three tech startups. Tom is joined on the show today by Megan Crawford, who specializes in corporate communications, PR, and marketing for high-tech and scientific companies. Megan has an MBA from Rice University, where she focused on entrepreneurship and finance. She also has her Bachelor in Business Administration from the University of Houston. And she majored there in management, marketing, and logistics. And she earned the Distinguished Graduate in Management Award. She also has a passion for human spaceflight and the emerging commercial space industry. She works with many space-related organizations and has experience with NASA and excited to be an instrument in the development of an entirely new industry over the coming years. She is a managing team member for the New Space Business Plan competition and is the executive director of the Texas Space Foundation. So, Tommy and Megan, welcome back to the Space Show. How are you?
I'm doing well, David.
And Megan, welcome to you, too.
Thank you. Great to be on again.
So, Tommy, this year it's called the Lightning Pitch. Stop that. it's called the Lightning Pitch Competition. Why?
Because this year we're not doing a formal BPC as such. We are revamping and they're re-promoting the BPC for 2015, hopefully to be bigger and better than ever with a lot more prizes and a lot more activities going on. And we decided, given the levels of how certain funding streams were working and our sponsorships were going, we felt it better to focus on a bigger event in 2015 and then kind of relaunch it in a much bigger way. I said to use the word bigger a lot, and I'll continue to use it because it's going to be huge, as Donald Trump would say. But we wanted to have something for continuity. A couple of our sponsors said they were perfectly okay with skipping a year on BPC if we're going to relaunch it and better than ever. But they said, well, can we still do something this year of some kind? We still have some money we'd be willing to put in, and what could we do? And so we got our heads together and thought about this. And we came up with the notion of a very quick, something we call a lightning pitch competition, in which contestants that are selected after a very short application process will be able to pitch their wares in a whopping 4 minutes to at least three judges, who will then go after them in kind of a Shark Tank environment for another 3 minutes. And then so up four, get yelled at for 3 minutes, sit down, next. And we'll have 8 to 10 competitors, we expect. And then we have some money we will be awarding to the best people who do that pitch. The room hopefully is going to be filled with all sorts of potential angel and or VC type investors will be in the room watching. And so you'll get a chance to rub elbows with them at a reception early in the evening that same day where the awards will be announced. And we think it'll be a fun event because the whole first day of the New Space Conference, which is, I believe, Thursday, July 24th in Silicon Valley, is dedicated to business planning and fundraising and capitalization and where the markets are going. And we thought this would be a great thing to insert into that program. It fits in really well.
Are you going to run a boot camp or any training, or the contestants just go cold onto it?
I will give Megan the shot at answering that.
Megan?
Yeah, so since we're not doing a full BPC this year, we don't have an official boot camp per se. But in order to make sure that we're getting the best possible presentations and to make sure that the competitors are as prepared as possible, a few of us are going to be volunteering our time on the day before the competition to kind of give the guys a mini boot camp, if you will. We're going to just stand up and scream at them just like the Army sergeants do and whip them into shape pretty quickly in a couple hours in the afternoon before the actual competition. So we are going to try and provide some of that help that we normally do at that 1.5 day boot camp, but we just don't have that kind of time or those resources this year.
If you guys want me to drive down and help out in that, I'll be glad to do it. So.
Oh, we would love to have you. Absolutely.
So just let me know the details, because I'm only an hour, if there's no traffic, an hour and 20 minutes away. So.
Well, that's not bad at all.
And if I get to yell at people, that's even better.
It's so fun.
Yes, it is. So, if you want to do this, I know from the PR announcement you have a deadline coming up, right?
Yes, there is. Our deadline is June 7th, which is this coming Saturday. Actually, application is very easy if you're an entrepreneur and you're planning on being in the Silicon Valley area and maybe even attending the conference. All we need for an application is a small executive summary of your startup, up to 3 pages, no more than that, please. And you can email that either in a Word or a PDF format to compete at newspacebpc.com. And that's all we need. And then we'll let you know in about a few days whether or not you've been selected.
Then
come to the conference.
You say startup. So do you really mean like a brand new beginning startup, or are you talking about maybe an ongoing company but still is kind of in startup phase and needs additional funding?
Actually, It can be anywhere from out of the garage to something that is, in fact, up and running to some extent. Maybe even up to the area of like initial cash flow, people there obviously have a great new idea and they're still out there looking for money.
Now, is it
even if they're already up and running?
Is it still space scalable, or does it have to be space pure?
It can be space scalable, absolutely.
Okay, and do you have your website up and running for it?
We sure do. In fact, I'll let Megan tout the virtues of all that. She was instrumental in making this. We got a nice, shiny new website called newspacebpc.com, and I'll let Megan tell you more about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we just recently launched, just a few weeks ago, our brand new website. We've got more information than ever. It's extremely user-friendly. We are at NewspaceBPC, that stands for Business Plan Competition. So NewspaceBPC.com. And there on the front page, you'll see there's a link for the lightning pitch. That's going to give you all the pertinent information, all the links to all the rules and the important dates and all of that. And it's all there and available on our website. You can find that email address where you need to send your executive summary, which again is compete@newspacebpc.com. And we've got all of our current press releases, information about our sponsors, and information about all the prizes and how the whole thing works. So I'm hoping, hopefully we've done a good enough job that all your questions might be answered just by, going over to newspacebpc.com and taking a look at all the information that's available there.
Now, if you get more than 10 submissions, what is the process this year for choosing the 10 that get to promote at the New Space Conference?
Well, we're keeping it simple. We're going back to basics like we've done in previous BPCs. We have a rating form that we've used in the past, and David, you've used it before. You've seen it. And I'll probably be out there. I'll probably be tapping on you and a bunch of other people that we've used in the past to do some very quick analysis of what's coming in. And from that, usually the score sheet works pretty well, and we'll determine who makes the cut and gets to move forward. So, we expect somewhere between 8 and 10 contestants. We're not calling them finalists because it's not a BPC. They're not a BPC-branded event, so we're calling them contestants. That's what they are, to come and present. They have to come on their own dime. Probably they're not going to come from far and wide. It's not an international competition in that regard. We only have $30,000 in total prize monies, courtesy of our sponsor, ATK. So it's not so much for big prize money as it is a chance to rub elbows with Silicon Valley that day.
What is the winner? What does the winner get? What's the maximum prize to the winner?
We're still looking at that. We're going between $50,000 and $20,000 total. We haven't made a final decision on that yet, whether we're going to award three prizes or four. We're still having discussions between ourselves and the sponsor to come up with that. And as soon as we finalize what those awards are going to be, we will put them on the website and issue another press release.
Okay. They have to perfect their pitch for a four-minute presentation. That's basically what you're saying, right?
Yep. You got 4 minutes to make your case.
Interesting.
And 3 minutes to take pot shots.
Well, to answer questions from the people taking pot shots.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the judges meet and decide. And when does the winner get announced?
The winner gets announced at 5 p.m. that same day at a... invitational VIP reception.
And is everyone who attends the New Space Conference able to go to that reception, or that's only for the business lightning round people?
That's for the business lightning round people, and all, particularly in the staff that were involved, and all the contestants, and especially the people from Silicon Valley that we've invited to be our guests, who more than likely also sat in the audience that morning to look at the contestants.
I have an email question from you from Josh, who is in San Diego. And Josh says, Tom or Megan, can you tell from past years if there is some sort of an overriding theme or trend of the type of company that wins the prize?
I'll let Megan go first, because I think we may have slightly different points of view on that.
It's a very good question, and my answer would be that it's really all over the board. I think that especially in the last couple years, we've gotten some really great examples of some space scalable technologies, some things that might not actually be, rocket ships or space habitats that are doing very well in this type of competition. Alternately, yes, most things are space-related in some form or fashion. Obviously, it's a space-themed event. But I think that we've got kind of a wide variety of topics. Obviously, because it's Silicon Valley, things that are software-related tend to do well. But that, of course, by no means is meant to discourage anybody who has any type of business plan that could be considered space scalable.
Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree to an extent that of the actual winners of previous BPCs, most of them were either had something to do with the launch business or had something to do with space-related business, different types of hardware, software, those kinds of companies, imaging, that kind of thing. But the variety of finalists that we've had that go all the way to even nano and biotech, they all got great exposure as a result of participating in our programs, and some of them have gone on to bigger and better fundraises and contracts even as a result of participating in our program.
Absolutely. I've put several of these people on the space show who never won anything, but they've gotten funded for their business, and they presented, and I met them at the business plan competition. So it's a good track record just to present at the competition, even if you're not one of the top winners for it, at least as far as I can tell. By the way, your format that you're talking about, so for listeners out there who are not necessarily familiar with this, and I already asked Tom, and I know he doesn't watch the show, but Megan, maybe, do you watch the HBO comedy hit series called Silicon Valley?
Oh, I am a huge fan. It is so hilarious. It's one of the funniest shows, one of the best shows that I think is on TV right now. I love it.
Yeah, I agree, but their format in the finale last night for presenting to the audience with the panel of judges up on the stage to ask them questions about their their 3 or 4 minute little is exactly the format you're kind of talking about. You know, of course, dramatized for TV and for comedy. So listeners, if you're not really familiar with it, what these guys are talking about is exactly what happens at these tech conferences and when companies are vying to present their their business plan idea for whatever it is that they're working on for the prize money and for all the contacts and support at HBO. And then it shows them at the VIP meeting after the event, and all the guys from all over the world are coming up really impressed, and they want to have them come present to their partners to get money and to get investors. And that's basically what you're talking about, right? Without all the comedy and the raunchy stuff.
Well, you never know with this crowd. We could get some of the comedy, hopefully not the raunchy bit. But yes, that's exactly the type of format that we're talking about. It's very common in the startup world and the entrepreneurship world, in and outside of Silicon Valley. And also, anybody who watches the television show Shark Tank, that's very similar as well. Obviously, our judges are not going to be offering investment right then and there like they do on that television show, but the format of you know, having to stand up and you have just a few moments to present your idea, pitch your company, get people interested and excited, and then a few minutes of questions from the judges to kind of get the information that they're looking for. Were they going to make an investment decision?
Absolutely. Another question just came in from Jack, and Jack is in Berkeley, California, just across the bay from me, and says, David, I'm at work, so using email today. I've asked this question before when you've done business plan shows, and so I want to see if the answer is any different now to either Tom or to Megan. Do you have a mechanism for oversight to see what winners actually do with the money when they win the business plan competition?
That's a good question.
yes, it is a good
That mechanism, I understand what you're saying about that. That mechanism has not been very clear in the past. We've because obviously, when we first started doing this, we had a lot of formal rules and everything, and in some cases, we were trying to think through every possibility, and we were making things up as we went along. Now that we're a little more sophisticated and moving forward, yeah, we are developing a mechanism to do that. I mean, as of right now, we've never had anybody sign a formal agreement saying, well, if I win the money, I'm going to use it for this, this, and this, and not spend it on a trip to Tahiti. There's been questions about that before, and it's kind of a pain in the ass formality. But if that gives everybody more confidence in the program, we will certainly initiate something like that. I mean, we've never had that problem in the past. I don't expect to have it in the future. I trust our ability and our screeners' ability to select not only the best business plans and models to present at our competition, but they're also the individuals themselves, the teams themselves, are of as sterling a personal character as we can deduce. But yeah, there's all sorts of formal things you can do, and we'll probably implement those.
Well, if they want to go to Tahiti and take me along to do the space show down there, then I'm all for it. So.
Well, we know, David, you're hopelessly corrupt, so yeah, we would expect that.
Absolutely. You have another email question from Tony up in Seattle. He's in your area, not too far from where you are, Tom. Can you cite an example of one of your past winners that has gone on to business success with the plan that they won at your competition? Well, a couple of your winners were already very successful companies, as I recall.
Who's 2011's winner again? Oh, it's the name. I just blanked out.
What's his name from Cisco Systems, who started his own company with that antenna system? I think that was maybe 2012 that won big, and I can't think of his name. He's been a guest on the space show, too.
Oh, Rick Sanford.
Yeah, Rick Sanford.
Space Ground Amalgam. They're still working on a fundraise. They've gotten some LOIs from a couple of companies. I'm helping them out a little bit.
Now, Peter.
Actually.
Peter Plotzer has gone on to be very successful.
Yeah. Now, he did not. He participated in the 2012 BPC. He did not actually win anything.
Right, but he went ahead with the contacts he made, and he's very, very successful company.
And he did a big fundraise, and they're doing very, very well. Absolutely.
And also our second place winner from 2012, Digital Solid State Propulsion.
Yes.
They just launched their micro thruster to the International Space Station in May. So they came away with the second place and a cash prize of $10,000 at the 2012 competition, and they made some amazing connections there. They got some good talks going on with NASA and kind of all the right people, and were able to really push through with their business plan.
They were the
That's another great success story that is also available in the press release section of our website. That would be a good place for that person to go and take a look at some of the information we have posted there about our previous winners and links to their websites and things like that, so you can kind of check on how everybody's doing after the competition.
That was the Reno-based company, right?
Actually, I don't remember where they were based. I can look that up.
They were based in Mojave with a lot of the other guys.
Well, so I'm confusing them maybe with the one that I coached that made Madonna's rocket bra. Is that the different company?
I don't think so.
The one in Reno had the little rocket thrusters that they made.
Well, were they based? I can't remember.
And I think they won third place. I think they came in third place in 2012.
No, I said, well, I thought they got second, and the other.
Well, I don't remember.
The logic board got third. I can't remember now.
I can't remember.
I need to look back at previous events on my website.
What are some of the key rules that people need to know for the lightning round?
Well, the most important thing is really the timing. And I would highly, highly recommend practicing at length. I'm somebody who I normally fly by the seat of my pants, and I'll just get up and give a presentation. But when you're talking about something that's this specific about the time limit, you want to use every single second of those 4 minutes, and you want to make sure that you're getting all of your information out to the audience and the judges in a coherent fashion within that four-minute time frame. So really the big thing is sticking to those the time limit, that four-minute time limit, getting your pitch perfected just right for that, and being ready to go. We have some guidelines, again, on our website. We have a rules and regulations page on the site that talks about the general requirements, the prizes, submission guidelines, and even gives some oral presentation guidelines. And we have a section on our website as well that provides a lot of resources and links to entrepreneurs so they can help get that pitch just right before they arrive at the competition.
And it says in there that no more than five on a presenting team. Do you really expect all five people to present in the 4 minutes, or you're really saying they can be there, but only one person really makes the talk?
A lot of people have kind of a different opinion of how they want to do their presentation. I personally find that it's more effective when you have a single speaker, especially with this type of time limit. Switching between speakers is a waste of time that, you don't want to be wasting any of those moments. But a lot of times there's two different experts. You have maybe a marketing expert and a tech expert, and they both have their piece that they need to say. And so a lot of times that works out well. Anything more than two speakers is going to be really difficult. But a lot of times they do like to have four or five people up on stage, because when you get to the question and answer part, maybe you need your finance guy to answer specific questions about finance, or your tech guy to answer specific questions about your technology. So that's why people do find it useful to have several of their team members up on the stage for that question and answer portion. But as far as the actual presentation goes, we would recommend no more than two people speaking.
Can they use media up on the stage, PowerPoints, things like that? That's permissible?
Absolutely. We do encourage PowerPoints. We will have, of course, a whole media setup, and we're going to be streaming live. So there are going to be some requirements about the formatting of your PowerPoint presentation and making sure that it's preloaded on the laptop that's already up on the stage. Nobody's going to be able to bring their own laptops up and down, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it takes too much time for the switching in between. And so, again, that's all detailed on the rules page of our website if you have any questions about those specifics.
Does it cost anything to enter the competition?
Absolutely not. It's completely free this year for any entering teams. They just have to submit their executive summary via email.
Okay, and any rules this year about U.S. citizen or U.S. resident like there are with the business plan competition?
That's not an issue this year. Because that's only an issue for the grand prize for the BPC that is normally sponsored by NASA, because that's, you know, U.S. government money. They insist on, 51% U.S. ownership. Since we're not giving away any money from NASA this year, that's not a requirement.
Tom, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just saying that is definitely, I'm just agreeing, that's a rule we waived for this year for that particular reason. Our private corporate sponsor doesn't care. And it's also, given the nature of this competition, it's probably doubtful that we're going to get competitors from other countries anyway, unless they were planning on attending the conference anyway.
So for people that are attending NewSpace, is this included in our conference registration fee, or is this an additional add-on like you used to have with the space business plan things? You know, before the business plan competition got going, you had an add-on program. So is this an add-on, or is it actually included as part of the conference?
No, it's actually included as part of the conference. It's on the regular conference schedule. I believe it's like 10:30 to noon or thereabouts.
So anyone
on that first day, Thursday.
Yeah, anyone attending the conference, this is part of what they attend.
Absolutely.
Do you know who the judges are yet?
I've signed on one for absolute certain, and that's Amarish Kalapara. I've got some other people still on the short list, and I'm reaching out to. I just haven't gotten a formal commitment from them yet, so I shouldn't mention their names.
You don't. Neither of you become a judge, right?
I'm going to be hosting.
Yeah.
And we do some judging in that initial round to determine the competitors, although I don't know if they're going to let me be a judge this year because apparently I'm too nice. I scored everybody too high.
Oh.
But we do kind of put our two cents in that first round along with several other notable judges. And then in that final round, we're managing the competition and not actually participating in the judging.
See, they should put you on and then put me on because I flunk everybody.
Yeah, we balance each other out.
I'm
like crossfire.
I'm beyond cruel and hostile and mean. I have impossible standards.
Making people cry is your business, and business is good.
No, I don't want them to cry. I just, you know, don't want them to be sucking on the fancy, you know, on the fantasy. So, what else is so you're only this one part of the conference. Is anything about the business plan or what you guys talk about, is it going to continue through any other days of the conference? Are you making any talks about anything related to this, either of you or anyone else regarding the business plan?
All I know is I have been asked to moderate a panel on financing of space startups and things like that. So I'll be doing that. I don't know if it's Thursday or Friday. I haven't checked the final schedule yet.
And what
That's
about,
all I'm doing.
What about you, Megan? Are you doing anything?
No, I'm focused primarily on making sure that lightning pitch goes off without a hitch, and then I'll be celebrating the rest of the weekend. So you can find me at the bar.
And this is at the DoubleTree again, right?
Yes, same place we were last year.
Okay. Here's another email question from you from Allison, and Allison is in Las Vegas. And Allison says, in submitting our outline by Saturday, which I think you said the deadline was, all you need, I want to be clear about this, is a 3-page executive summary. At some point, do you need the actual real business plan?
Okay. Yeah, since it's not a business plan competition, it's just a lightning pitch contest. So up to a three-page executive summary is really all that's needed, and we will use that as a basis for determining who actually gets to be a contestant. We're keeping it real simple.
So there is no real business plan associated with. They don't have to write a real business plan for this.
No, but I would suggest if you've already doing an executive summary and you're already out the gate maybe doing some things, I would probably surmise that you already have a business plan of some kind in the works. And not that we need it for the scope of this contest, but if should you actually rub elbows with the right kind of VC or angel investor at the VIP event that evening, and they may want to see your business plan, and you may want to have one for them.
But in terms of the competition, just that three-page executive summary is all that is needed.
That's it.
So they don't have to have financials or spreadsheets or anything. This is real easy.
Well, you know what, David? Let me tell you something, though. I'm working on a funding round right now and for another company I'm involved with. And we have a one-pager that we pass out to certain investors. And it does have very brief financials in the bottom of it. So you'd be amazed what you can fit onto one page if you have to. One or two pagers are basically the standard by actually saying, we'll give you three pages. That's actually kind of generous. In the real world, you know,
yeah,
a pager doesn't last very long.
And I'm sure at some point during the 4 minutes, they talk about how much money they need and why they need it and how they
got it. That's absolutely what they need to put in their pitch, yes.
And how they're going to use it. So
yep.
It would behoove them to have some financial homework that they've taken care of and that they've done.
Right. And like Tom was saying, you know, in the industry and working with startups and venture capitalists and angel investors, you find that a one-pager is really the most that somebody's going to read. Sometimes they'll give you two pages. So by having that third page, you know, like Tom said, we're being generous with giving them that third page. I think it would be very beneficial for them to be more detailed about their financials, because the reality is this is an investment competition. You're pitching to investors, and that's going to be their first question. How much money do you need? What are you going to use it on? How much money am I going to make a return on my investment? They want to bottom line it. So anything that the competitors can add that's going to be helpful in the investors and the judges understanding the financial state of the company will be very, very helpful.
Another email, Carl. David, I'm also at work. My question is, over the years that you've been doing this, plus with the predecessor program, have you seen a significant improvement in business plans? Have you seen a marginal improvement, just a little bit of an improvement, or no improvement? And do you think the business plan competition, where you've been able to give away much more money each year, has made a difference in raising the quality of business plans for the new space community?
Okay, I can tell you for an absolute certainty that beefing up the prize money definitely made a huge difference in the quality of the applicants. This was actually advised to us by Silicon Valley investors at the end of the 2011 competition where we gave away a $25,000 first prize. They said, bump this up to $100,000, you will get everybody's notice. And we took that back to Ames and they said, okay. And sure enough, it was true. In 2012, the amount of submissions and the quality of submissions improved dramatically. David, you yourself were witness to that.
Yeah, I thought it was the best program ever.
Yeah, and I would say 2013's program, you know, despite all the bumps in the road that we hit in 2013, we had a very similar level of quality.
So saying that money makes the world go around is certainly true in this arena then.
Absolutely.
Do you think, leaning on Carl's overall question, over the years that this was going on, and including the programs that Boeing participated in and others participated in, and you had them before an ISDC program, and, you know, they were in different places around the country, you know, for a day before the regular conference started, do you think those programs helped get you to where you are today, or were they, looking back in hindsight, just kind of incidental to all of this?
In hindsight, this was, in fact, a great evolutionary training ground for the things we're doing now. One really did lead to the other. The experiences of doing a space investment summit, which was all in itself a cut above the original space business roundtable that had been done years prior, and made a more formal event, really got the interest of a lot of the investment community and attracted some quality entrepreneurs. We weren't as skilled at the time as running that show as a pitch event, but we got our feet wet doing that, and the lessons learned from all those experiences led up to creating the business plan competition we have now.
So, Megan, were you with the group going back that far to some of those roundtable programs?
Not as far back as the roundtable. I was in attendance at several of the Space Investment Summits and have been involved with the business plan competition in its different iterations throughout the years. And it absolutely has been an amazing evolution watching the program kind of get up off its feet. And, you know, not to toot our own horns too much, but I really do believe that the focus on the entrepreneurial and business aspect that, you know, over the years and the amount of press that we've gotten, I think it really has helped change perceptions about investment in space. Several years ago, most investors would look at the space industry and say, there's absolutely no way. That's too rich for my blood. There's nothing I can do in the space industry. And I think that we've really helped some awareness there with the talk about space scalable and being able to invest in terrestrial products that will help in future space applications, and educating investors that there are so many other opportunities to get your feet wet in the space industry that doesn't include having to buy a rocket, and that it really is affordable for, you know, even somebody who's just an angel investor, who's talking about much smaller amounts of money than a venture capital firm. And of course, our friends and sponsors at the Space Angel Network do a wonderful job of towing that line and getting the information out to potentially interested investors around the world. So I think that, you know, it's kind of a perfect storm between the Space Frontier Foundation, the New Space BPC, Space Angels Network, and we've really gained a lot of traction in the last few years of getting interest and excitement out there in the rest of the world about this industry and investing in it.
Aside from the topics or the types of businesses proposed, if you look at a business plan competition that's been around forever and ever and is very successful, the one at Rice University, how does this compare to that, and does Rice University ever do a space type of business in what they do with their business plan competition?
I'm actually, intimately familiar with that. I was a student coordinator of the Rice Business Plan Competition when I went to school there a few years back. And, of course, we are not anywhere close to that level. I mean, they're giving away over $1 million in funding each year. And they've got some just great support from the local Houston and Texas communities. But that's definitely, you know, one of the models that we're looking at, and you know, something that we're very interested in aspiring to. And my good friends over there at the Rice Business Plan Competition have been very helpful with tips and tricks and information. And actually, they, in relation to space, they do have a partnership with the Johnson Space Center that's just south of town here in Houston. And the Space Life Science Directorate at Johnson Space Center sponsors several prizes at the Rice BPC each year for biotech technologies. And that's one of the things that we talk about a lot as being space scalable. Of course, there's a lot of different biological concerns with long-term habitation in space. And there's obviously tons of amazing and wonderful new things coming out of the biotechnology world right now. And a lot of these companies don't even realize that their fabulous terrestrial product has some grand application in space. And so NASA attends the competition every year and picks out one or two of these biotech companies that they think their technology would be highly applicable to space, and they offer some cash awards to those companies and kind of try and bring them into the fold down here at NASA and work with them to get their technologies ready for use both terrestrially and in space. So we definitely have taken a lot of cues from them, and we're actually hopefully going, we're starting a conversation with them to potentially do some co-sponsorship, and we think that there's a lot of ways that our different programs can dovetail with each other. So I'm not going to get ahead of myself there, but you might see an announcement related to something like that before the end of the year. So
they get over $1 million to give away at that competition?
Yes, sir, every year. And it's been growing exponentially. When I was there, it was about 600,000 in total prizes. And understand, too, that they have 32 teams compete, and everybody walks away with something. They give away about 60 prizes. Usually the top team will win, you know, 5 or 8 or 10 different prizes. They have a lot of market sector prizes and specific prizes for, they have an elevator pitch competition, which is a 60-second pitch on the first day. There's a separate winner from that that's different from the main competition. And so, you know, they have tons of money, tons of sponsors, tons of different things going on. It's really an intense competition. And like I said, great for us to look up to them and kind of see what they're doing right. So they run a really tight ship over there. It's a really great program.
Can anyone attend it, or do you have to be a Rice person to attend it?
Attendance is open to the public. I believe you do have to pay a registration fee, $30 or $50, something like that, to attend it. But it is open to the public. And, of course, the judging is not. They have obviously we have a great venture capital community here in Houston, and they pull from that for their judging. But anybody can walk in off the street and pay their registration fee and go sit in and listen to all the different pitches throughout the day. So.
All right, so what's the timeline for your new space business plan to get to that point? We going to see that in 5 years?
I hope so.
The Rice competition has been going on over 10 years now, I believe, so they've had some time to work up to that. And obviously, they have a great resource, lots of great resources being here in Houston and affiliated with Rice. So we're trying to build some of that up ourselves, but like with the Rice competition, it all kind of snowballed. It was just kind of chugging along at 100 or 200,000 a year, and got a couple big investors and got a couple more big investors excited, and the next thing you know, they're over $1 million.
Wow.
So if we keep going on the current trajectory, then hopefully, yeah.
Tom, you were going to say something?
Yeah. We just finished, in fact, the day before ISDC, a bunch of us from the foundation got together and did a major strategic planning session over the coming years. And and one of the things we discussed in particular was the BPC and how fast we wanted to grow. And so we got some plans in place, and we're hoping by at the end of 5 years, say 2019, we have a total budget anywhere between $2 and $3 million is the goal. A lot of prizes come out of that, but you also get to pay people and do more marketing and do all sorts of other great things along with that. So we're heading in that direction. We've got some great plans for 2015 that are forming right now, and I think it's going to be an incredible program, even compared to the previous ones. Stay tuned.
You stay tuned. We're going to take a break because we're halfway through our program. So, listeners, we'll be back with Tom and Megan in about 3 minutes. Our number for those of you that can get to a phone line, 1-866-687-7223. Email drspace, drspace, at thespaceshow.com. Again, back in 3 minutes.
The Space Show thanks its listeners for their generous support. The Space Show now joins forces with the One Giant Leap Foundation to further advance space education and the establishment of a spacefaring society and culture in America and the world. One Giant Leap Foundation is a tax-exempt organization with the purpose of advancing space education and development along with The Space Show. Your support of The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation helps get the word out as to why space is so essential and important to us all. So join with us by going to www.thespaceshow.com and clicking on the Support The Space Show button. Your contribution will help The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation in continuing its work and bringing you the programming you want free of charge on a continued basis. And remember, your gift to The Space Show is tax deductible. This is with the One Giant Leap Foundation to further advance space education and the establishment of a spacefaring society and culture in America and the world. One Giant Leap Foundation is a tax-exempt organization with the purpose of advancing space education and development along with The Space Show. Your support of the Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation helps get the word out as to why space is so essential and important to us all. So join with us by going to www.thespaceshow.com and clicking on the Support the Space Show button. Your contribution will help the Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation in continuing its work and bringing you the programming you want free of charge on a continued basis. And remember, your gift to the Space Show is tax deductible.
I'm Dr. David Livingston, creator and host of the Space Show, and I would like to share my vision with you for not only this radio program, but for space development. Space should be like any other place we choose to visit, work in, or call our home. It should be just another destination, like Tahiti, Hawaii, or any place available to us right now on Earth. When this vision becomes reality, we will be spacefaring in our culture, our economy, our society, and in our lives. Our world will be vastly improved by countless space-related benefits, transforming our lives both in space and right here on Earth. And the Space Show is helping to make this vision a global reality. And welcome back, everybody, to part two of our Monday Space Show program. Excuse the delay in coming back, but I was getting some glitches on the website that I was bringing to the attention of our two guests, but we are back now. And a couple of you asked for the URL for the New Space Lightning Round competition again, although I announced it up front. It is New Space BPC, so New Space, all one word, then B as in boy, P as in Peter, C as in Charlie.com. That's all one word. And that'll take you to the New Space Business Plan Competition website, and then go across the top and you'll see Lightning Round. And then that's the easiest way to get there, and you'll just click on that, and you should be able to come up with it. It'll say Lightning Round, Lightning Pitch 2014, along with other things about the New Space Business Plan competition. If you have any questions about that, do let us know. And you do have to register for the New Space Conference to come see the pitches or hear the pitches, although you guys said they were going to be streamed. Do you know anything about the streaming yet?
I don't know anything about it right off the top, but as has been usual during the New Space Conference, most of the major sessions are now live streamed over the website, so you should be able to tap into that anytime.
Do you foresee a day where, in the near term, let me qualify it, because if we don't put a timeline on it, then yeah, of course you would foresee a day. In the very near term, which I guess is maybe 5 to 7 years out, where investing in private space businesses will as be common as investing in a silver screen partners or various franchises that are out on the market, other kinds of risky entrepreneurial startup investments that people can take. Do you think space will eventually, in the near term, 5 to 7 years out, evolve into that kind of familiarity with the American investor market?
Well, it's funny you ask that because, again, during our strategic planning session, we wanted to also project into the future the kinds of things we want to work for and what we expect to happen. And we came up with the idea that within the next, say, 20 to 25 years, there would, in fact, be a bond issue for a space development company, and it would actually be at least triple B rated, not junk bonds.
With what state would issue that, or who, where would it be issued? Oh, so you're talking about a corporate bond.
Yeah.
Interesting. That would be debt financing rather than security.
Yep.
Rather than equity.
Yeah.
20 to 25 years out.
Yeah. The kinds of bonds that other types of companies do now for very mundane things on planet Earth, that they can finance easily, you know, through a commercial bank or some other institution, they will be able to float a bond issue for a space development company or consortium would be able to float a bond issue and have it be investment grade?
Well, the only thing I think that could possibly do that might be some kind of, I know this is your favorite industry, Tom, space solar power industry, given the new government EPA rules that are being announced on our energy usage and power usage. It might be that, they've jacked the price up politically so much on regular utilities that space solar power actually looks good.
That's the only way they can make it compete is by distorting
well,
the market.
Well, of course. And then somebody says, well, why would I want to give away all the equity on this? It's going to be a gold mine as long as we have governments that jack up the prices like this and distort the market. So let's just do a debt financing deal. So then they go issue a $1 billion bond for developing a space solar power energy company. So
yeah,
I honestly,
by the time they're done, it's going to be $500 billion before they're done. You know, in 20 years' time, and they still don't know how to run a utility company.
Well,
don't get me started, David. This should be a separate show.
I'm just talking about the financing, Tom. I'm not talking about the management of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But given the way we're going, look, people be happy to have electricity at any power, at any price. So I don't know. We here in California, that's about all I can say. I'd love to have electricity at any price. I won't get you started, although it is fun to get you started, Tom. Let me go back to how you see this industry changing. On the space show, and I actually want to hear from both of you on this, I have seen the emergence of nanosatellites, CubeSats, the smaller kind of do-it-yourself opportunities, and even if they're not do-it-yourself, they're so much cheaper than anything in traditional aerospace. It might as well be in the do-it-yourself kind of category. I have seen this revolutionizing the opportunities to do entrepreneurial commercial space ventures. It's moving really, really fast from what I can tell. To what degree has the business plan competition maybe fed into and supported the emergence of this industry? And to what degree do you think this miniaturization, CubeSat, kind of do-it-yourself industry has spurred contestants to go join up for the business plan competition? I think they feed each other, if I'm not wrong.
I think it has helped tremendously. I don't know how much we feed into the thing as much as we call attention to some things that are going on, and that attention continues after between BPCs. Nanosatisfy, as you say, Peter Platzer is a great, great example of that. I just wrote an article for New Space Global a few months back where I focused on CubeSats in particular and that whole vertical and where that's going, and I talk to people. They're actually in the business of making these things. Other people who are still in the big iron, SAT market. The demand for services of this nature is growing exponentially. There's room for players, both large and small, and a number of companies, including some big players whose names I'm kind of forbidden from mentioning right now, are planning, whole constellations of their own. And the big deal is a lot of these guys are building their prototypes or building their real hardware now using 3D printing. So it's a very, very quick way to ramp up.
Megan, you have any observations on this kind of industry and what's been happening in the miniaturization aspects?
I think Tom really hit the nail on the head there. And obviously, nanotech is something that we've talked about for a long time as being one of those things that is space scalable. The smaller things get, the easier they are to get to space. The smaller that technology gets, the better that is for the space industry. The cheaper it is to get those things into space, the better off everybody is. So I do appreciate that trend, and I think that it really is helping make space more accessible.
Okay, and Tony sent in another email, and he's looking for previous contestants. So, Tony, you need to go to their website. which is newspacebpc.com, as we've been talking about. And look at their menu bar across the top, and it goes Home, About, Lightning Pitch 2014, Entrepreneurs, Investors, Previous Events, and Sponsors. So if you click on Previous Events, you get a drop-down menu. Okay, and the drop-down menu has previous events from 2013, 2012, and 2011, which is really when the business plan competition had a change in its format and its structure. And you can see who the finalists were, and that's the information that I believe you are looking for. And this is also cool for everybody else as well. This is how you navigate their site. You guys have a caller on hold. Let's see who your caller is. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Who are you? Where are you?
Hi, this is Tony from Seattle.
So I just answered your question.
You sure did.
Unless you have another one.
I've got another question, though.
Okay. Tommy is waiting to hear from you.
Yeah. Tom... nice to meet you, but over the phone anyway. What is your? This is serious. I obviously you have a bias against space solar power. I think it is probably based in the fact that it is always there's always a huge economic barrier to entry to any type of space-based solar power system that's been contemplated before. I have been trying to think of a way to make the system cost as little as possible so that actually you could even do it with something like NanoSat. Can you tell me what your feeling is about that kind of an idea?
If you're talking constellations of small nanosats flying at LEO, is that what you're talking about?
Actually, not for the first one. The first concept I came up with was, okay, how would Steve Jobs approach this? And I was thinking, okay, what is the smallest system that you could put up that one person or home could use? And I talked to some laser experts about it, and they said, well, that's really not possible. But the smallest thing we could get from GEO is about 800 meters in diameter. In other words, you could have a beam of sunlight equivalent energy, 1,000 watts per square meter, that would be 800 meters in diameter. So that's kind of a community-sized device. But that was the best that they could do out of a 4-meter laser optic. It's not really a laser. It's not a solar pump laser. It's a solar pump laser or solar pump oscillator. They call it an oscillator. It's not a laser, apparently, because you're getting different wavelengths out of it at the same time. So, anyway, I wanted to hear what you thought of an idea where you're trying to minimize the cost of just basically a demonstration project.
Well, at the cost of a demonstration project, I mean, I get what you're trying to say. I'm still not seeing where you turn that into running a utility company, and that's really the big showstopper for me. The numbers just never add up unless you force everyone to buy the power at like 83 cents a kilowatt, so investors will get a return on their investment, because that was the latest analysis I saw from an actual investment firm a few years back. Maybe the numbers have changed a little bit, but off peak in some areas is as low as a nickel a kilowatt still today, unless you're going to try to sufficiently mess with that economic paradigm and find a way to integrate that power into even a local grid. There's still a lot of economic issues to deal with. I'm not sure the numbers still add up even on a smaller scale. Now, I have suggested in the past on these shows that if a smaller scale system could be shown to be operable and you took the economic paradigm out of it and used it for further exploration of space, for example, I could see where a group of people on the moon, a group of people that are settling or exploring Mars, a small solar system that could be launched with a single heavy lift launch would provide a lot of power needs with the economic factor taken out of it, because that's not what it's about. It's just part of the cost of doing the mission, without a lot of fuss. So
that's interesting. Are you familiar at all with Lou Frost's Space Mirror proposal? Have you heard of it?
I mean, I think I've read about it in the past. I've had some exposure to that, yeah. I haven't read it. I haven't dived it in that detail. But
he presented that on the show several years ago, and I thought his economics and his analysis, not talking about his technical, I'm not qualified to evaluate it, was out in Looney Tunes. It was a great show, but maybe he's refined it a lot better and made it more realistic, but I didn't think when he did it on the show it was anywhere as close to being realistic.
Well, the thing that I found interesting about the idea is he's avoiding most of the mass of the traditional microwave transmitting space-based solar power concept in GEO. What he's doing is just taking basically 1% of the mass, which is the mirror, and putting it in low Earth orbit that's sun synchronous, and just shining sunlight down to the Earth. He has a barrier to an economic barrier to entry in my mind, in that it's a huge number of mirrors. So I still have a problem with it, but it's extremely different than the typical space-based solar power in GEO idea.
Now, what's he shining? I'll refresh my memory. What's he shining the mirrors on? A solar collector on the ground?
You're shining
the idea
them on
to concentrate
large
sunlight.
Central solar power stations in the deserts of the world. In other words, in cloudless areas, he's shining them at near dusk and dawn, when these power stations get less than 5% of the sunlight they normally get at noon anyway. So he's increasing the number of hours that these plants generate power from an average of 8 hours a day to 16 hours a day.
Well, then he should be pitching that deal to investors in Dubai who are sitting on piles of cash and are looking for an opportunity.
Yeah, he should. Unfortunately, he's got an Army contract for research right now.
But, which means he won't even own his intellectual property in the end. if you're doing government work, especially military work, they don't care if you have a patent or not. If they decide that they want to grab that patent and have someone else, they think someone else over here can build it better, they'll just take it.
Yeah, well,
you signed off
I'm
on that when you signed the contract.
It involves space mirrors at all, what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate your input. When is your lightning round in San Jose going to be this year? When is that happening?
Okay, the New Space Conference is at the DoubleTree in San Jose. It's July 24 through 26. And you can actually go to the website spacefrontier.org to get more information about the conference itself. Our lightning pitch is on the first day of the conference in the morning session on that Thursday.
Okay.
And then the VIP event for those who have participated will be, at 5 p.m. that evening, and we'll give out the actual prize money. But if you do sign up for the conference and attend that first day, there is a general reception starting at 6 o'clock after the VIP event. A lot of those people will probably still be there rubbing elbows, so you'd be free to join them at that point with a conference.
Well, it sounds very interesting, and it's good to hear that stuff like this is going on, and thank you very much.
Why don't you come down for the conference, Tony?
Why don't I? This is a good question. I first have to get some ducks in a row.
come on. There are no excuses or rationalizations. As Yoda said, you either do or do not do. There's nothing in between.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right.
Okay, we made a sale. Good job.
That's right. Do we get a commission on this, Tom?
I'll have to ask Sarah Jennings.
Please ask her. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Talk to you later, David.
Bye-bye. I don't know. You were going to do a whole series of space solar power articles, and you were going to then do them on the space show, and you never did that, Tom.
I know. It was one of those things that kind of slipped through the cracks, only because a lot of the excitement about that kind of just dribbled away once the reality set in for a lot of people, and then you didn't hear about it again for several years. So I just kind of shelved that. But these guys are now trying to come back with a vengeance and come up with even more and newer, bigger, things like, 8 times the size of Hoover Dam, basically, in Geo. And that's what you'd have to do to make any kind of an impact. And I still don't think the economics work. And a lot of other paradigms won't work up there. But if you want to have that chat someday, I can go through my notes and dig them up, and we can do that.
Yeah, I'm definitely open to that. Going back to the New Space Business Competition, I have another email from you from Jocelyn in Las Vegas. And Jocelyn says, you've talked about an improvement in the quality of the business plans over the years, given the increase in prize money. What about the improvement in the sophistication and capability of the entrepreneurs and the people attempting to do these businesses? Have you seen much of a change in that? Both
Megan, you go first. You haven't spoken in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason I haven't spoken is I don't have much to say on space solar power. So, absolutely. It's one of those things as the industry is growing, as it's getting some more credibility and some more interest. Obviously, we have some more kind of serious entrepreneurs stepping in. This used to be the domain of scientists and engineers, which, God bless them, I love scientists and engineers, but very rarely can they put together a good presentation of any sort. So having some kind of real money and investment and real entrepreneurs and real business people gaining some more interest in the industry has really improved the viability of the businesses and the ability for them to communicate their ideas more effectively.
Tom, what about you?
I would just say, just going forward from our earliest days, the quality, not only the quality of the applicants and the finalists improved tremendously, but also the quality of the teams and what they're able to accomplish after the fact. In 2011 competition we talked about earlier, Altius Space Machines was the winner, and they're really, even though there are some other interesting finalists, Altius is the one who still is in the news. They still are growing. They're still working on their sticky boom technology, and they're working on a deal right now to start testing it out on ISS. So,
yeah, they've done great work.
But when you go beyond that, when you just jump ahead another year, a lot of the companies that are involved there are still very, very active and doing all sorts of interesting things. Megan already mentioned digital solid-state propulsion, NanoSatisfy, and Space Ground Amalgam in particular. Those three are doing really well and doing interesting things. I haven't heard much from TerraPeel lately, but I know they've gotten a lot of interest in their radiation mitigation solution.
They were just on the show a couple of months ago, and then Elizabeth, who was a speaker at our conference for that company, just sent me an email, and she has left the company and gone to some consulting biotech position or company, I think in the Washington, D.C. area. But the head of TerraPeel was just on the show a couple of months ago, and they're going forward and doing great work in their radiation mitigation pill with RD, whatever it was, RD-114 or something, RD-76. That was a great company that presented, and they're still funded and going ahead strong, and they've got investors. And they seem to be run by people who really know how to run a business. I have another email question from you. This is from Sarah in Boston. And Sarah says, many entrepreneurial space ideas seem to come from individuals or people that want to try to build a business while they have a day job doing something else. I have heard from people who have attended the conference and the business plan presentations that there seems to be a prejudice against one-person businesses. Is there such a prejudice against one-person businesses in the competition? Do you advise not to do it?
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't think there's a prejudice against one-person businesses. You have to understand that
the judges in these competitions all come from the investment community themselves. They see, you know, hundreds of pitches a year each, and they know how to analyze business plans. And the plans that generally get funded and generally do well because their goal is to actually, make a nice return on their investment, they invest in teams. And one person just can't do it all themselves most of the time. They have a team around them that are specialists in specific areas, and they have a track record, preferably, of doing things in similar industries or the same one. And so the technologies are nice. IP is wonderful, but a good investor really invests in the team, the people ability, and judges those people's ability to execute effectively a particular business vision. So a one-person shop is under a much bigger barrier just to get past that in order to convince investors that they're worth the time and trouble.
Megan, any comments from you on that?
Yes, I would say that I agree 100% with what Tom said, but don't let that discourage you. Obviously, having expertise and experience is a benefit and is definitely something that the investors are looking for. But if you have a great piece of technology, if you have a great idea, this type of competition is the right place to come out and say, look, I've got this great idea. Here's my business plan. Now I need money to hire people. And here's who I'm going to hire. And here are the people who are on my board of advisors. And here are the people who have been helping me. And if you come into it with that attitude, like saying, I know that one person's not enough to run a company, but I do plan on hiring more people once I get investment, I think that that will help help the judges feel a little bit more comfortable. So I would absolutely encourage you to apply as a one-person business. Please don't let that discourage you, but please understand that, you know, the idea is for you to not be a one-person business for long.
Right. If you're a one-person business and that's your end plan, I don't think you have a prayer in hell of getting any place. But if that's how you're beginning and you need funding to do this and this and this, and you can show that you can target and identify quality people and you're not hiring your brother-in-law and your sister-in-law and your uncle, to do this or that, I think you can still gain the confidence of people, especially at the new space business plan level. Maybe not on some of these big tech things, that are run in Silicon Valley or Austin or some of these other things. But don't make the one-person business the end plan as well as the starting point. I guess that would be what to say. And, yeah, I think there is a built-in bias that you have to overcome, so you have to overcome that by showing that you understand what the limitations are. I wouldn't blame anybody for being biased. I wouldn't go down that road at all. And that you know how to overcome it, and you know how to show that you can attract and hire and designate quality people to be part of your team. And then I think you'll do really fine.
And one of the important things about these business plan competitions is we all know, recognize, and remember that these are startups, that there are issues, there are problems, there are things that need to be corrected, there are positions that need to be filled, there are advances to the technology that need to be done. But what the judges are really looking for is that you understand what your needs are and you're planning for those. That's why it's called a business plan, because we want to see what your plan is. We want to see how you plan to execute this great technology or idea and turn it into money. So you might not have the people now, but you're going to get the people. You might not have the technology finished yet, but you're close. And explaining that to the judges and letting them know that you've thought that through is really what they're looking for.
For those entrepreneurs that are new to all of this, can either of you or both of you provide a guideline for the reasonable out term? That is, what's the maximum time you could get away with a straight face and be considered serious for showing a return on investment of a new space, risk-oriented business opportunity? You can't really do what traditional venture capital can do, I don't think. I think space is a little longer. But is 10 years reasonable? Is 7 years reasonable? Does it have to be less than 7 years to be in the running? Do you guys have a thought on that?
To be in a traditional space-type company, and I guess that kind of revolves more about launch services in particular and the surrounding technologies for that. If you're in that space, you're probably looking for way too much money anyway. But, hey, let's just say you're in that space. Yeah, the returns are going to be a lot longer in coming, probably, and you're going to have a tougher time convincing investors that your particular deal has a better opportunity cost than 100 other deals somewhere else. I'm in the middle of a couple of fundraisers for myself and for others right now, and the people I talk to in the investment community right now, what they're looking for are things that will at least get to an initial exit place potentially within 18 to 30 months. That's what they're looking at. That kind of ekes out certain types of companies that need like a huge amount of capital up front, and they're going to have a high burn rate. It's just that that opportunity has shrunk dramatically in the past few years. But those that are coming in and bootstrapping a particular technology that can be used in a wider market context and can get to a potential exit within 2 or 3 years will probably have a better chance.
Megan, any thoughts from you, please?
Yeah, and for those entrepreneurs who aren't as familiar with the investment community, an exit doesn't necessarily mean you're exiting the business. It can mean that you're getting acquired by a larger company. It can mean that you're doing an initial public offering and selling stock. And it could mean something as simple as another round of financing from a larger pool once you've become successful. So, you know, don't necessarily think that you have to be done and accomplished with all of your goals inside 30 months. That time frame is to get to the next funding point where these investors could cash out their investment. And that's what they're looking for, is having a plan for when they're going to get their money back and how much money they're going to get back. And if you can give them a coherent story for what you see the future of your business being and how you see them getting their money back, and as long as you are, in fact, have some idea of how you can make money in the next 2 to 3 years, that's really what they're looking for.
So if you said your exit was going to come in year 7, that'd probably be detrimental to your trying to win the plan, the contest, correct?
Well, if you can give them a 20x rate of return and you can make that stick, they'd probably be willing to wait 7 years. But that's a very, very tough nut to crack in this economy.
So potential contestants, keep that in mind when you're trying to work out the reasonableness of your business and your finances. And, you know, the other thing is if you BS your way through it, I think most of the judges would probably see through that. So if it's a 7-year return and you tell them you're going to do it in 32 months, I think you'd probably get nailed in the Q&A. I don't think you could pull the wool over their eyes very easily. At least that's my opinion of it all. Guys, we're coming up on the 90-minute end of the program. Any takeaways or closing comments or words of wisdom you would like to leave with our listeners today regarding the upcoming lightning round and the new space event?
I just want to impress upon people that this lightning pitch competition is a unique event. There's absolutely no cost to enter. So send us a submission. All it costs is a few minutes of your time and an email, and you never know what will come from it. So be brave. Take that step. Send us an executive summary and see where it goes.
And the deadline is this Saturday, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah, again, the address is compete@newspacebpc.com. And, of course, in the next few minutes, if our servers are totally crashed because of all the entries we're going to get, there's an alternate address you can use, which is businessplan@spacefrontier.org. Start with the first one, compete@newspacebpc.com. And, send us your three-pager. We're waiting to hear from you.
Okay, and look over the guidelines, and I guess give it your best shot, and plan on attending the conference for the entire time that the conference goes. It goes from, Thursday through Saturday, correct?
Yes.
No event on Sunday, as I recall.
No.
It's at the DoubleTree Inn in San Jose, and I will be doing a show on the conference specifically with Sarah and Aaron, I think it's next week or maybe the week after, but we will be talking more in detail about the conference in general. So, Tom and Megan, I look forward to seeing you in San Jose in a little bit over a month, and thank you for being on the program, and I'll look forward to hearing more from you about the lightning round.
David, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks, David.
Always a pleasure. And send in your three-pager, everybody. This is a no-brainer. So take advantage of it. And if you do it, let me know that you're doing it. And if you get noticed after the event, I won't do anything with you before the event because I don't think that would be fair. But I'd be happy to have you talk about your ideas on the space show. So keep that in mind as well. Thanks to Tom, and thanks to Megan, and all of you who participated and asked questions. And come back tomorrow night for another Space Show program, and then Wednesday's with John Batchelor, and then Friday and Sunday, and we're back with our regular schedule. Thank you all for listening. Everybody have a great week, a safe week, and goodbye from Tom and Megan as well.